When I was in high school, my youth director handed me one of these clipboards at Camp Lutherdell. And this week I made a connection that I never made before with that clipboard. If you're thankful for Emmanuel, you're going to want to take a moment to thank a man named Roger Twito, who handed me one of these when I was in high school. And that moment led all the way up to this moment here. Last week I shared a story about broken trust up from Camp Lutherdell. That's not the only story on trust that comes out of Camp Lutherdell. So today I cannot wait to tell you the story about that clipboard and how it relates to the five dimensions of trust and how trust opens doors and so much more. So let's dive right in with this question. If you're taking notes at home or if you're taking notes here, I encourage you to write this down. Have you ever met someone with trust issues, and how well do you know their story? Those two things I think go hand in hand. If you ever met someone with trust issues, or if you have trust issues, there's almost always a story, or two, or three, that go along with that. And in that story where there's trust issues, usually that story involves somebody getting hurt. Last week I shared my stories about trust issues with trust falls. Why do I have issues? Trust issues with trust falls? Because I got dropped. I got dropped from that elevated position, and I got hurt. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down too. At the core of most trust issues is a desire to protect something valuable. At the core of most trust issues is a desire to protect something valuable. One of my takeaways from this series already, we're only 2 weeks in here, one of my takeaways is a renewed empathy, a renewed compassion, renewed patience for people who have trust issues. When a parent has trust issues, before we start pointing fingers at the parents, listen to their stories. You know, what happened to them when they were a kid? What happened to one of their kids, or what almost happened to one of their kids? What have they seen with their own eyes? What have they heard about? What stories? Why do they feel like they feel? Before we start pointing fingers, find out some more about their stories. If someone's got trust issues with someone in authority, find out their stories first. Maybe they had somebody in authority make some really bad decisions or do something that really betrayed their trust. If it's hard for you to trust people who report to you, if you're in a position of authority, before you start pointing fingers at someone like that, find out their stories. There's probably a story of somebody who they trusted and that person didn't follow through, or that person did something that ended up hurting them or the organization. And here's the thing too. If you've been betrayed by people that you loved, by people that you trusted, by people that you cared about, by people that you really respected, people you really looked up to, you've been hurt by those people, that affects everything. It can affect everything. Trust issues. They often come from a place of protecting ourselves or protecting somebody or protecting something that we really, really care about. And here's one of life's big challenges then. How do you discern when you cross the line from protecting to overprotecting? Isn't that one of the challenges, right? Because we all want to protect, but when are you overprotecting? What happens when parents get overprotective? The people that I saw in college that self-destructed the most, they were the ones whose parents controlled them the most and didn't let them make those little mistakes. I'm seeing a lot of people nodding here. They didn't make the little mistakes when they were kids, and then they made the big ones in college. Or how about this? With supervisors, it can be really hard for supervisors to trust the people on their teams. Well, if we don't trust people, how are they going to develop? How are we going to know what they're capable of? How are we going to see if they're not ready for some greater tasks? If we put up too many walls in relationships because we really want to protect ourselves, you're never going to really have close friendships. You're never going to really be able to experience love. You're not going to experience community because you got to make yourself vulnerable if you're going to go to those next levels. Now, all these things I'm talking about, this works both ways, because we're not the only ones who've been hurt and betrayed over the course of our lives. So why should we expect others to trust us if we're not being trustworthy. Do you see how this works both ways? All right, I came across a great quote as I was preparing for this week. In a broken world where trust gets broken every day for a variety of reasons, here's the quote, trust cannot be given only on a promise. Can I get an amen to that? Trust can't be given on only a promise. That leads to then another question worth writing down. How do we earn and extend trust really, really well? How do we do that? How do we earn it? How do we extend it really, really, really well? Trusting everyone in every situation, that's not just naive, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. And then not trusting anyone ever, that's not even an option because you can't survive. All right, so in this four-part teaching series on trust, what we're going to wrestle with are questions like this. Who do you trust? And in what situations? When is it wise to let people learn from their mistakes? And then also, when is it wise to say, no, that actually the risk is too high? The answer to that one is no, or not yet. How do we become more trustworthy ourselves in the eyes of other people? And then when, if ever, should we extend trust to people that have betrayed the trust in the past? These are the kind of questions we want to wrestle with. Now, fortunately for us, there are some great resources out there that can help us with questions like these, beginning with the Bible. So if you have your Bible with you, please open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. If you don't have a Bible at home, we'd encourage you right now, you can go and download a free Bible app at Bible.com. It's a fantastic one. All right, 2 Timothy, what we're going to look at. 2 Timothy is a first century letter. It was written by a man named Paul to a young man he was mentoring named Timothy. Paul is writing this letter from prison, and Paul appears to know that this was probably going to be his last letter. You can tell from the tone by some of the things he says, he probably knows he's going to die in that prison. And there is so much wisdom in this last letter. So much wisdom, especially about earning and extending trust. We're given insight into why Timothy trusts Paul, why Paul trusts Timothy, why it's so important to surround yourself with trustworthy people, why it's so important to distance yourself from people who aren't trustworthy, why God is trustworthy, why the Bible is trustworthy, all that and so much more. Let's take a look. 2 Timothy chapter 10 or chapter 3 verses 10 through 11. It says this, "You, however," Paul's talking to Timothy, "you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them, the Lord rescued me." All right, a theme that Paul returns to in several of his letters is, oh, you know what, let me back up a little bit. I refer to this passage that we just read. This passage is read several times. I refer to this when we're talking with our young people. And one of the reasons I bring them back here is that so many people are saying so many things. And one of the things I try to bring them back to is, how well do you know them? These people that you're trusting, these people you're listening to all the time, how well do you really know them? These people that are telling you all this stuff. In the verses that come before the ones we just read, Paul describes people who are lovers of self, lovers of money, arrogant, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, slanderous, without self-control, treacherous, reckless, conceited, people who love pleasure more than they seek to honor God. Paul lists a number of these things, and looking at that list, that's a whole lot of our influencers, isn't it? Well, Paul says this, there's a lot of people out there who are like that. He's writing in the first century. He says there's a lot of people out there like that. Put distance between yourself and them. And follow the example, Paul says, that you've seen in me. Follow that example. You've seen it with your own eyes. You've heard my teaching. You know my character. And then you know that I've been tested. You've seen it. You know that I've been tested. In fact, this was interesting. When I was studying this passage, when Paul mentions Lystra, one of those cities, he's not just throwing out random names of random towns. I completely forgot. That's Timothy's hometown. And one of the things that happened in Lystra when Paul was there, that's the place where, for his faith, Paul got stoned so many times. They threw so many rocks at this guy trying to kill him, they thought he was dead. There's a really good chance Timothy saw that. This could have been one of the reasons why Timothy's like, I'm in. Because you really believe this. Up until the point you're willing to put your life on the line. Paul's trustworthiness was tested. All right, let's continue reading verses 12 through 13. Indeed, Paul says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ are going to be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. And then he says this, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. A theme that Paul returns to, not just in other letters, but actually even in this letter, is this theme that there's some people that are not trustworthy. There are people that just aren't. And one of the reasons that they deceive so many people is that they sound right. What they say sounds right. Well, again, he returns to this theme not only in other letters, but in this same letter. If you jump ahead to chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, listen to this. And I'd like you to try something. While you're listening to this, if you can think of people who are doing the same thing that he talks about today, raise your hand. There is a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Any hands up? All right, we got a couple of hands on that one. But having itching ears, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Anyone hear any of that today? All right, we got a lot of hands going up in this room. Maybe your hand's up there too. All right, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Any of that happening today? We got two hands coming up over here from Scott. This teaching is timeless. This teaching is timeless. All right, back to chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul is an example of this. Paul's like, you know me. You've seen me. You're getting this teaching not from some whatever person who just comes flying in, flying out, from me. But he also, if this is a callback here, what we just read, callback to chapter 1, where Paul affirms Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother Lois, which are the perfect two mother-grandmother names, right? Eunice and Lois, that just cracks me up. They modeled the faith. They modeled the faith. We read that in chapter 1. They taught Timothy the scriptures when he was a kid. And here's how this section of scripture ends, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here Paul starts to weave in now the trustworthiness of scripture. And that's a topic that we talked about before. Why do we trust the Bible the way we do? Paul considers the Bible to be, quote, breathed out by God. Now, what we won't catch if we don't do a deeper dive is this English phrase, breathed out by God. That phrase translates one word in Greek. And one of the interesting things about this word, this is the only place we find that word ever, not just in the Bible, but in Greek literature of the day. So people look at that word and they speculate that Paul did what he does apparently in other places. He made that word up. Because this is a one-of-a-kind document, one-of-a-kind collection, I should say, of documents. And he had to come up with a word that he took these two words together, breathed by God. He created this new word. This is God breathed. These documents are different than other documents. Okay, so all of this that we're reading here, this is the kind of teaching you find in 2 Timothy. This, that we are to anchor to teaching and people and content that we can trust. And look what Paul instructs Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2:20, 2, verse 2. What you have seen and heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to who? To what kind of people? Faithful people. Who are able to teach others also. So the kind of people that Timothy is supposed to extend trust to are faithful people who are able to do what he's hoping they will do. And get this, before the letter closes, how much does Paul hammer home this theme? Before this book, this letter closes, he calls people out
who weren't trustworthy. He names names. Like, aren't we taught never to do that? He does it. He's just like, stay away from this person because this person did this. Stay away from this person because this person did. He straight up says, avoid these people. It's there at the end of the letter. So Paul is making it clear. You can't trust everyone. Paul's also making it clear you should trust. You need to trust trustworthy people. So then that brings us back to this spot. How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between trustworthy people and people who aren't trustworthy? Well, if you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. Do you trust me is a loaded question. I hate when I get that question for so many reasons, but one of them is because it's a loaded question. What do you mean by that? Do I trust your motivations? Do I trust your ability? What do you mean? Because trust is a loaded question. If you want to know whether or not a person can be trusted, or if you want to say, how do I earn more trust, there's five things to consider. What I'm about to give you here, this is pure gold. And I can say that because it's not coming from me. It's coming from this guy, Dr. Henry Cloud, who studied these things. This is a book that we're highly recommending. I'm seeing people nodding here. This book, Trust. Emma just told me that one of our teenagers, a sophomore, went out and got this book. This is so much good stuff here. Because he takes these biblical concepts and principles, and he just drills down into them. So I'm going to give you five different elements of trust. You want to see all five of these, especially when the stakes are high. Here we go. Number one is track record. I'm putting that one first because the best indicator of someone's future behavior is what? Their past behavior. Yeah, what they've done in the past. Dr. Henry Cloud puts it like this. He goes, track records, they're the building blocks of all trust. This is the building block for everything. What is their track record? I remember several years ago, I was wrestling with a really challenging staffing issue. And I went to lunch with a mentor and friend. He's the CEO of a great company. He's got tons of wisdom and experience. When I've got leadership questions, he's one of my go-to guys. We were talking about delegating well that day. I'm like, how do you delegate well? And Nate said this. He said, trust is earned through consistency over time. Trust is earned through consistency over time. Craig Groeschel, another Christian leader, he leads a church that's now reaching about 100,000 people a week. I can't even fathom that. He puts it like this. It's not what you do occasionally that matters. It's what you do consistently. The best indicator there is to know if you can trust someone in the future is to consider how much trust they've displayed and demonstrated in each of these four areas in the past. Here we go. Like number two, understanding. Here's another dimension of trust, understanding. One of the things that you look for, if you're looking for trustworthiness, is do they really understand you? Really understand you? Or do they really understand what you're asking them to do? And I think we can relate to this. How many of you feel your defenses going up when someone's trying to push something on you or trying to convince you of something? You know, or they're just trying, I'm seeing again, a lot of nods here. When someone's just like, they're trying to prove something to you, our defenses go up. What happens when they really try to understand? The opposite, right? Your defenses go down. When they're like, no, really, try to help me understand where you're coming from. And you're really listening. Or if you're trying to explain a project or something, or when they're really listening, no, I don't think I got that yet. Here, help me. Your defenses go down when you feel understood. Cloud uses the word magical. He goes, it's magical. Our brains start to shift from being guarded to really being open and trusting. If you want to earn trust, really listen well. Get to know what they're thinking and who they are and their hopes and their dreams. And if you find people that have trust issues, one of the best things you can do is really try to understand where did that come from? And really try to understand. And then before you extend trust, make sure they understand. Because how many times have you seen that? You think you got it. Figured out, and then everyone's going off doing these different things. You're like, what in the world happened? Okay, so understanding is really important, but understanding is not enough. They also need the ability. Last week, we talked about that. Kids, trust me on this trust fall. They had good motivation, they weren't strong enough, right? So ability is about, can they actually do what you're asking them to do? And here's the thing I want to add. Can they do it at the level that you need them to do it at? That's another thing, right? There's a reason why we don't only have a written test for driving. Right? Because head knowledge is only so much. There's a reason why the next step is you're sitting in a car with a person just like, when they're first learning, right? Because you got to learn. It takes time. That's how things are. And then you learn, then NASCAR is a whole nother level, right? There's these levels of learning. It's why, like, with a surgeon, you don't take a couple classes in college, a pre-med. All right, here's your knife. Have at it. There's a whole process of observation and all these types of things. There's a big difference between the quality level. Have any of you ever gone to like a sixth grade band concert? Oh, God bless those middle school band teachers. Oh, big difference between that and an orchestra, like a world-class orchestra. So you might be ready for sixth grade band level. Orchestra is another thing. Or soccer, rec soccer with little kids. It's like watching the School of Sunnies just all around the ball, just kind of to Olympic level soccer. So there's also that level. Someone can say, trust me, I'm ready. Ready at what level? Ready at what level? A really helpful model that I heard years and years ago when it comes to skills and abilities is like this. Here's a great model. I do, you watch. I do, you help. Now you do, and I'll help. Now you do and I'll watch. I love that little model there. Okay, so before you extend trust, especially when the stakes are high, look for the track record. And what do you want to see in the track record? You want to see that they really understand and they have the ability. Okay, here are two more vital considerations when it comes to trust. Number four, character. Character. I'm getting some audible mm-hmms here. Character. All right, that one was at the top of Paul's list. Character was up at the top. When you're dealing with someone who doesn't have high character, you know what they might do? They might use this framework against you. How many times has that happened? Someone, they try to gain our understanding. They try to gain our trust so they can manipulate us. When they don't have good character, you have to be careful because they can be doing all the things that look right. Talk to people who are doing the dating scene right now. Man, I'm hearing horror stories. Okay, there's also those who aren't, they're not just trying to actively manipulate you. Another character consideration, there's the people that aren't devious, they're just oblivious. And their deal is they don't recognize the mess they're making. They don't recognize they're doing these things, and when they drop the ball, it affects the rest of us, right? So there's that part that's related to this. And then there's another category that I'm going to call character. It's not, again, they're trying to hurt someone, but sometimes they'll do things like this. They think they're being kind, but what they're really doing is they're kind of avoiding their own discomfort. The classic example is that is you ask them a question and they won't really tell you the truth because they don't want to hurt your feelings. And wouldn't we rather have people that would disappoint us with the truth than make us feel better with a lie? You know, ultimately. Character matters. And I can't begin to express how vitally important it is. Place your trust in people that are honest. Place your trust in people that are transparent. Place your trust in people that take responsibility for their actions. Place your trust in people that aren't just looking out for themselves. All right, fifth dimension of trust is closely related to character. So much so that I had to think for a while, how is this one even different? And that is motivation. Number five, motivation. There is a lot of overlap between the two, character and motivation. If someone's got really good character, generally you trust the motivation because they got really good character. Part of that good character is I'm looking out for other people beside myself. If someone's got sketchy character, you always have to question their motivation. So it's really related to character. But there are times, like I was thinking about this, hostage situation. They're distinct. Because hostage situation, you're dealing, you're negotiating with this person who's taking hostages. You still look for motivation, right? What's their motivation that can get us talking? Because if there's no motivation, then you got nothing. So they're related but distinct too. Even a person with a sketchy character can sometimes be motivated to tell the truth or to keep their promise. But you gotta be really careful. Don't go down that road. If it's sketchy character, it's just a problem. I once saw a short video by Simon Sinek. This guy's got this TED Talk. TED Talk video that has gotten like more views than any other TED Talk video. So Simon Sinek, he works with a whole lot of groups. He went and worked with some Navy SEALs. And he was talking to these Navy SEALs, and they had some really interesting observations about trust. The Navy SEAL said, okay, let's say you got a graph here. And this graph is performance. The higher you go up, the higher the performance of this Navy SEAL. Really good at shooting, really good at mission planning, really good at Navy SEAL stuff. All right, now this one is character. The higher you get up here, the higher character they have. Integrity, you can trust in them, they got your back. He said, of course, everybody wants this person on their team. That's a no-brainer. High character, high performance. He said, nobody wants this, right? Low character, low performance. They're sketchy and they're bad at what they do. All right, nobody wants that. Navy SEAL says this. You would much rather have somebody here than here. You would much rather have somebody on your team that's maybe a little lower in performance, but they got your back. He said, this person, high performance, but you can't trust them. That's toxic. That is dangerous. Really interesting observation from somebody. You talk about high risk missions. It's life or death. It's national security. Character really, really, really matters. All right. Can we put up the list, Mike, one more time of our five things? There are at least five dimensions of trust: track record, understanding, ability, character, motivation. Maybe you all already knew all these things, but for me to actually see this in writing, and I only saw this book like last year from the Global Leadership Summit, let's forget. This is a game changer for me. Because now I've got language when we're talking with people. Do you trust me? Well, let's talk through that. Let's unpack what that means. Or if you don't trust me, let's talk through that. Let's talk through what that means. How many of you would say, looking at that list, that you've been burned when you've taken shortcuts on one or more of those things? Show of hands. How many? That's when I've been burned too. When I've cut corners on one or more of those things. So here's our invitation then, as our time together gets near towards the end. We're going to invite you, unlock the blessings of becoming more trustworthy and trustwise. Unlock the blessings of that. Trustworthiness opens doors. When people can trust you in these areas, that opens doors. And then being trustwise, extending just the right amount of trust in different situations. Knowing how much trust to extend, how much to withhold, that is, when you do that, everyone wins. And that's what brings us back then to this clipboard. When I was in high school, Roger Twito was my Paul. That man was my Paul. His character, his conduct, his aim in life, his faith, his patience with us teenagers, his love, his steadfastness, they're all rock solid. And it's interesting, you guys are here today because Roger Twito is the one that introduced me to Emmanuel Children's Home. You remember him. Yep. He's a good man. This guy was leading at a level that I had never met anybody personally that was leading like he did. He was such a good leader. And that's why I'll never forget the day he handed me the clipboard at Camp Luther Dell. What does that mean? The clipboard is the clipboard he used to lead those big games. It's where he kept all his instructions and all that type of thing. And he said, Chris, I want you to lead the big games this year. It wasn't something I asked for. And it wasn't something I felt ready for. It wasn't something that I even really wanted, but I trusted him. I'm like, okay, if you think I can do it, I can do it. Now, here's something really important to note. Roger didn't start asking me, do the Bible studies, do the teachings. But that came later. It was a clipboard first. Then it was the Bible studies. He didn't ask me to get and do some of the talks until later. after I was writing some Bible studies. He didn't ask me to lead worship or what he called ministry night. But that came later when I was almost ready. He didn't hand me the keys to the church bus. Well, because I was 16 at the time or whatever. But that did come later. He didn't bring his youth group when he later was a pastor at another church. He didn't bring his youth group to the camps that I was leading. You might have even been there one of those years when Roger was there. He didn't do that then. He did that later. He didn't ask me to speak at the National Youth Convention for his denomination way back then. But that came later. What Roger did is he continued to entrust this kid with the next step. And as he was doing that, what he was doing is he was building trustworthiness in me. I was able to be more trustworthy in different situations because I was learning these skills. And I was getting coached and I was getting mentored along the way, one step at a time. And there is a direct line from those experiences then to internships, to going full-time on staff at a small church in New Ulm, Minnesota, to then being invited to join a team at a mega church here in the Twin Cities, to a group of people from a denomination that I didn't even know, the covenant, to that group saying to my wife and I, you should plant a church from scratch. My brothers and sisters, you take that thread from that clipboard, that's a direct link to this. Handing the kid a clipboard. So here's one of the two questions I want to leave you with. Who can you hand a clipboard to? In all ages, I mean, you're doing it right now, Batsy. You're handing clipboards. Who could you hand a clipboard to? Think about that. Who has God placed in your life? They're ready for a next step of trust. Who's demonstrating some readiness through their track record, through their understanding, through their ability, through their character, through their motivation? Who could you hand a clipboard to? So that's question number one. Question number two is this, and this is the question I got from Craig Rochelle. What's it like to be on the other side of you? What a great question. The first question is about who could you extend trust to? This is about why should someone trust you, right? What's it like to be on the other side of you? What's your track record? How consistent are you? Are you a person who first seeks to understand rather than trying to convince somebody of something, right? Trying to understand first. Are you developing skills at all ages? Are we developing skills that make us more valuable? So people are like, oh, I need that ability because you're really, really good at that thing. And then how about character and motivation? Is your word as good as gold? And are you committed to working towards the best interests of others? What's it like to be on the other side of you? When your teacher, when your coach, when your boss gives you responsibility, they've given you a clipboard, steward that well. Steward that well. When your parents assign you a task, you might be like, that has nothing to do with wanting a later curfew. Yes, it does. It has nothing to do with getting the car. It does. Picking up your room has some, yeah. They're handing you a clipboard with every responsibility. Steward it well. Here's one. When your kids are your grandkids, or your kids in your small group, when they open up, they tell you some things, they're handing you a clipboard. Steward that well. Steward that well. Every time you level up, it's a new clipboard. Steward it well. Why? Because you're going to impact people's lives. But even if nobody else sees it, who sees it? God sees it. And what do we see in the scripture? We see examples like David. He's shepherding sheep. He's then having to take on lions and bears. And he's taking on giants. And then I'm trusting you to lead my people. All right, we're going to seal our time together with a song, and I love this song. It's called Firm Foundation. Now, this is going to be an anthem for what's left of our series. We're going to do it this week. We're going to close our whole series with this. It's a song where we're proclaiming Christ. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. What I want to do today, let's pray that we'll be more like him. How's that sound? Before we sing that song, let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We thank you first and foremost that you don't hide these things from us, but it's all over the scriptures. The blessings of being trustworthy and the pain when we're not. And so Lord, first and foremost, we pray that we will become more like you. Fill us with your spirit, transform our hearts, transform our minds so that our motivations are good, that we're motivated to become the best versions of ourselves through your help and your work and your spirit. And Lord, we're so thankful that you are a God who redeems and restores and gives us multiple chances. Lord, help us to steward that second chance really, really well. Help us to invite your help and surround ourselves with other people who are going to encourage and cheer us on. And thank you, Lord, that we can put our past in the past and move forward. You're a good God. You are a firm foundation on which to build our life. Help us to honor you now through proclamation of this song. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.